ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। Welcome to Bhagavat Parvaha online series on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have been discussing the flow of Srimad Bhagavatam from the first canto till last canto in this Bhagavat Parvaha series. And so far we have covered up to the 10th canto, 28th chapter. And today we are entering the 29th chapter. Chapters number 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. These five chapters of the 10th canto are together called Rasa Panchadhyaya. In these five chapters, Sukadeva Goswami describes the rasa dance performed by Krishna with the gopis of Vrindavan. So this Rasa Panchadhyaya is a very esoteric subject matter, and one should not directly jump into this episode without having studied the initial cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada writes right in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, his commentary, that the qualification to study Srimad Bhagavatam is to systematically read through it from the first canto, first chapter, till the last canto, last chapter, systematically, chapter by chapter. So in our Bhagavata Pravaha series, we have covered from first canto, first chapter, till 10th canto, 28th chapter. So now we are entering the 29th chapter. And this Rasa Panchadhyaya is very esoteric, and certainly I don't have the necessary qualification or realization to discuss this. So I will focus more on the significance of Krishna's conjugal pastimes and how these conjugal pastimes of Krishna, which he performs with the Madhurya gopis of Vrindavan, are very divine and totally spiritual in nature. And there is no trace of material lust in these affairs. So oftentimes a common average human being might think that Krishna is dancing with the gopis of Vrindavan, and many of these gopis are the wives of some other people also in Vrindavan. So how can Krishna dance like this? Isn't it an immoral act? So some people may think like that. So Prabhupada gives several reasons in his Krishna book why Krishna's rasa dance with the gopis of Vrindavan is not material. It is totally divine, spiritual, and transcendental. There is no trace of mundane lust attraction between man and woman on a material plane in these pastimes. They are totally enacted on the platform of spiritual love. So this is the love that exists between the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and his energies, the gopis of Vrindavan. So there is no trace of mundane lust there. So whatever Krishna performs with the gopis of Vrindavan in the Madhurya pastimes, so they're all really divine and transcendental. So today I will be discussing 11 reasons why Krishna's rasa dance is really divine and spiritual. And after that, I will enter the 29th chapter and go through these five chapters in very brief. And we will be discussing more on the Gopi Gita, the middle chapter, middle of Rasa Panchadhyaya, where the gopis sang their song in separation. The remaining four chapters, I will give a quick summary of all of them, and we'll conclude. So, the essence of bhakti is to always remain Krishna conscious. To be in Krishna consciousness is the sum and substance of a bhakti yogi. So, smartavya satatam vishno or vismartavyo na jatuchit, according to Padma Purana and Narada Pancharatra. So, to always remember Krishna and to never forget Krishna is the essence of bhakti yoga. That is the essence of our spiritual practices. Now, the gopis of Vrindavan are the topmost of all the devotees of Krishna, that they are constantly on the plane of remembrance of Krishna 24/7. So, there is one beautiful shloka in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the 44th chapter, that describes the Krishna smaranam of the gopis of Vrindavan. Very beautiful shloka that says, Yadohane vahanane mathanopalepa ప్రేంకాంఖనార్భరుదితోక్షణమార్జనాదౌ గాయంతి చైనమనురక్త ధియోశ్రుకంఠ్యో ధన్యావ్రజస్త్రియ ఉరుక్రమ చిత్తయానః. యా దోహనె వెన్ ద గోపీస్ ఆర్ మిల్కింగ్ దేర్ కౌస్, వహననె వెన్ దే ఆర్ థ్రెషింగ్ ద గ్రెయిన్స్, మథన వెన్ దే ఆర్ చర్నింగ్ బటర్ మిల్క్, ఉపలేప వెన్ దే ఆర్ టేకింగ్ ఎ మిక్స్చర్ ఆఫ్ కౌడంగ్ అండ్ క్లే అండ్ అప్లయింగ్ ఇట్ ఆన్ దేర్ మడ్ వాల్స్. యా దోహనే వహననే మథనోపలేప ప్రేంకాంఖన, వెన్ దే ఆర్ స్వింగింగ్ ఆన్ స్వింగ్స్ ఆర్ భరుదిత, వెన్ దే ఆర్ టేకింగ్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ దేర్ క్రయింగ్ బేబీస్, మార్జనాదౌ అండ్ దే ఆర్ వెన్ దే ఆర్ స్వీపింగ్ ద ఫ్లోర్స్ ఆఫ్ వృందావన్ ఆర్ దేర్ కోర్ట్ యార్డ్స్, ఆర్ ఉక్షణ వెన్ దే ఆర్ స్ప్రింక్లింగ్ వాటర్ మిక్స్డ్ విత్ కౌడంగ్ ఇన్ దేర్ కోర్ట్ యార్డ్స్. So while doing all these simple household activities in Vrindavan village, Gayanti Chaina Manurakta Dhyoshru Kanthyo, all the gopis of Vrindavan are constantly glorifying Krishna with voices steeped in love for Krishna. Anurakta Dhyo Ashru Kanthyo. So they sometimes have tears while describing Krishna. The tears are tears of love. Dhanya Vrajastriya Urukrama Chittayanaha. So because the gopis Gopi's consciousness is constantly immersed in thoughts of Krishna, the gopis are the topmost devotees of Krishna. Dhanya, who else can be more fortunate than the gopis of Vrindavan? So gopis are such exalted devotees of Krishna. So their relationship with Krishna is so pure. So from a mundane perspective, from an external perspective, they may be within their family members bound by some social customs, but even such social customs also are not obstacles on the path of the gopis to reach Krishna and render service to Krishna. So Prabhupada writes in Krishna book 32nd chapter, he says, the exemplary character of devotional service manifested by the devotees of Vrindavan is the purest type of devotion. The gopis particularly showed pure devotional service towards Krishna. Vrajavasis are the topmost bhaktas, and amongst Vrajavasis also the gopis of Vrindavan and Madhuri Rasa are the topmost, their cream. So much so that Krishna himself remained indebted to them. Krishna says that for your devotion, O gopis, I cannot repay you. I cannot repay, even within the entire lifetime of Brahma, I won't be able to repay you for the pure love and devotion that you expressed towards me. And even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus said that the devotional service manifested by the gopis of Vrindavan is the topmost, is excelled. And Vrindavan excelled all other methods of approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is himself appreciating the gopis. Mahaprabhu said, this sloka is described in Chaitanya Mattamanjusha commentary. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayastadhama Vrindavanam రమ్యా కాచిదుపాసనా వ్రజవధూ వర్గేణయా కల్పిత శ్రీమద్భాగవతం ప్రమాణమమలం ప్రేమా పుమార్తో మహాన్ శ్రీచైతన్య మహాప్రభోర్మతమిదం తత్రాదరానాపర. ఆరాధ్యో భగవాన్ వ్రజేశతనయ, అవర్ సుప్రీమ్లీ వర్షిపబుల్ లార్డ్ ఈజ్ వ్రజేశతనయ, means Krishna, who is the son of king of Vrindavan, that is Nanda Maharaj. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayah. Second, tad dhama Vrindavanam. Just as Krishna is the supreme lord, supremely worshipable lord, Vrindavan is the highest spiritual abode. So, and ramya kachidupasana vrajavadhu vargenaya kalpita. Of all the worshippers of Krishna, the best worship is done by the gopis of Vrindavan. Vrajavadhu means gopis. So gopis are the topmost devotees of Krishna. Who says this? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this. And Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamavalam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost scripture, the spotless authority. And Prema Pumartho Mahan, the supreme goal of our life is to develop Krishna Prema. And the gopis of Vrindavan have the topmost quality and quantity of Krishna Prima. So no one can defeat the gopis of Vrindavan in their Krishna Prima. So Bhagavatam describes the glories of the gopis. Sukadeva Goswami describes the glories of the gopis in Srimad Bhagavatam. So they are the topmost of all the devotees of Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying this. Tatradara naparaha. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is extolling the glories of the gopis of Vrindavan. Prabhupada is saying that. Many other devotees are saying that. So the characteristic of every single soul is to be attracted to Krishna. Jivera Swarupahaya Krishnera Nityadas. So every single living entity is an eternal fragment of Krishna, Amsha of Krishna, and a servant of Krishna. So we are all supposed to be lovers and servants of Krishna according to one's constitutional position. And the gopis have manifested this characteristic of the jiva. So every living entity innately is a lover and servant of Krishna, and gopis are manifesting that love and service attitude towards Krishna to the maximum possible extent. They are the topmost devotees of Krishna. They are in the purest Krishna consciousness. So now when Krishna is dancing with the gopis of Vrindavan in the middle of the night, so is it immoral? So let us see the reasons. So first reason, why this Rasa Leela is not immoral activity done by Krishna? We will see 11 reasons. First reason, Krishna's age. Krishna was 8 years old when he performed Rasa dance. Can an 8-year-old boy have lust towards the opposite gender? So definitely it's not a lusty affair. He's an 8-year-old boy, and all the other gopis are coming and they're dancing with Krishna. And from an external perspective, an ordinary boy, a small 8-year-old boy, cannot have such lusty affairs with other women. So from that perspective also, this is a pure manifestation of love, and not, there's no mundane lust there. Second reason, Krishna is Bhagavan. Bhaga means opulence. Van means one who possesses opulences. So Krishna is the possessor of all opulences. He has all the 6 opulences in full. He has 100% wealth. He is the wealthiest person. And he is beautiful. So wealth, beauty, knowledge, strength, and renunciation. So Krishna has all the 6 opulences in full. So when such supreme personality of Godhead, who has all the 6 opulences in full, he is having rasa dance with the gopis, how can that Bhagavan's activity be immoral? So when an ordinary person is dancing with the wives of other people, that can be seen as immoral. Of course it is immoral. But when the immortal Supreme Lord, who is the possessor of all 6 opulences, when he is doing something, so he cannot be judged by our mundane social standards or some moral perspectives. So he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he can do anything. Kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum. So tejiyasam na doshaya. When an exalted person does an activity, so it doesn't affect that person. For example, touching the urine or stool of a living being is considered very contaminating. We should immediately wash hands, or we should even take bath when you touch the urine and stool, urine or stool. But when the sun evaporates urine and the moisture in the stool, he is not contaminated by it. Fire is not contaminated by any kinds of contaminated substances thrown into the fire. So if an ordinary, if a demigod like sun or Agni Devata, so they are not contaminated by touching something. So how can the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the worshipable personality of all the demigods, how can he be contaminated? Yam brahma varun indra rudra marutah stunvanti divyai stavaihi vedaihi sangapadakramopanishadaihi gayanti yam samagaha dhyanavasthita tadgatena manasat pashyanti yam yogino yasyantam navidursura suraganah devaya tasmai namaha. Brahma, Indra, Varuna, Chandra, Maruts, all these different devatas worship Krishna. So vedaihi sanga padakramopanishadaihi gayanti yam samagaha. All the Vedas and Upanishads and different scriptures are glorifying the Supreme Lord Krishna. Dhyanavasthita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yogino. In their dhyanavastha, when they are meditating, the yogis, try to see and realize the Supreme Lord as super soul within their hearts. So, yasyantam navidur surasura ganaha devaya tasmai namaha. One cannot, whether you are a demigod or a demon or any other exalted person in this whole cosmic manifestation, you cannot completely understand the glories of Krishna. He is Bhagavan. How can he do any immoral activity? Third reason. So third reason is, the gopis are the direct expansions of Krishna's internal potency called pleasure potency. So Krishna has so many energies, spiritual energy, marginal energy and external energy. So we'll discuss about energies later. But Krishna has spiritual energy, and the most confidential part of that spiritual energy is the pleasure potency. And the gopis manifested from that pleasure potency. So Prabhupada gives a simple example. You can see in that picture a child is playing with his own reflection in the mirror. So Krishna's playing with the gopis of Vrindavan or dancing with the gopis of Vrindavan is just like a small child playing with his own reflection in the mirror. So now gopis are Krishna's spiritual energies and Krishna is playing with the gopis. So if Krishna is playing with the gopis of Vrindavan, how is it immoral? Because Krishna is playing with his own energies. So when somebody is using his own property the way he wants, so what is wrong with it? So that's another reason. Fourth reason is, the gopis have spiritual bodies. Just as Krishna has a transcendental spiritual body, the gopis of Vrindavan also have transcendental and spiritual bodies. So they are on the same plane as Krishna. So if Krishna's body is completely spiritual, gopis also have purely spiritual bodies. So there is no mundane interaction. There is no material lust there. The attraction between a man and a woman in this world is instigated by or inspired by Cupid or Madana or Kamadev. So the mundane lust that is there between the man and woman in this world is instigated by Kamadev. But Krishna's conjugal affairs are not instigated by Kamadev or Cupid or Madana. Krishna is Madana Mohana. So Krishna is more attractive than the Cupid also. Krishna can attract the Cupid also. How can Krishna be influenced by Cupid? So Krishna is the aprakrita Naveena Madana. He is the transcendental Cupid in Vrindavan. So Krishna's conjugal affairs are not influenced by material, by the Cupid. So if Cupid is not involved, where is the question of material lust there? So that's pure, totally spiritual exchange. It's happening on a spiritual plane. So Krishna and the gopis are interacting with each other or dancing with each other on a totally spiritual plane. Then fifth reason that Prabhupada gives is, Yogamaya has orchestrated Krishna's rasa dance. Not the external energy of Krishna called Mahamaya. So whatever happens in this material realm is influenced by the material energy of the Lord. But whatever happens in Krishna's pastimes, so that is influenced or orchestrated by Yogamaya or the spiritual energy of the Lord. So it cannot be mundane. It's not orchestrated by Durga, which is the external energy of the Lord. Sixth reason is that Krishna is the super soul or Paramatma. So what does it indicate? So now Paramatma is there in the hearts of every single living being. So that everybody knows. Krishna's replica is the super soul or Paramatma is there within the hearts of every single living being. Whether it is a human being or non-human, or an animal or a bird or an aquatic or a tree, or even an atom, Paramatma is there everywhere. So if a living entity is associating with Paramatma, do you consider that it is immoral activity? If that living being happens to be a female and Paramatma, who is a male, is there within the heart of that female, so the interaction between this male Paramatma and female living entity, or living entity who has a female body, so is it immoral? Certainly not. So similarly, when the gopis are interacting with Krishna, how can that be immoral? So just as all the yogis are manifested, yogis meditate on Paramatma. Dhyanavastita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yogino. We just discussed this shloka. So all the yogis meditate on Paramatma. So the yogis are associating with Paramatma within their hearts. And the gopis are associating with the source of that Paramatma, Krishna, who is not just within their hearts, who is right next to them. So if somebody is associating with the Lord within the heart, that is not considered immoral, that is bhakti. If someone is associating with the Lord face to face, how can that be called immoral? How can that not be called bhakti? So the gopis are actually, just like Paramatma is there in every single living entity's heart, you can see in that picture. Paramatma is there in every single living entity's heart. So means God is in touch with all living entities. So now Krishna expanded himself into unlimited forms. As many forms as there are the gopis. So many gopis came and Krishna expanded himself into those many number of forms and he associated with each and every one of them. Just as Krishna expanded himself as Paramatma and is staying with all of us, similarly Krishna expanded himself into his original personality. So original replicas of Krishna, same in all features. So he is associating with so many millions of gopis. So how can that be immoral? If our association with the super soul or God, Paramatma is a divine contact with God. Similarly, gopis' contact with Krishna is also divine. So seventh reason is Krishna is self-sufficient. That's why he is called Atmarama. Atmaram means one who is self-sufficient in all respects. He doesn't need anything beyond himself. He is self-sufficient completely. Yet, he is not ungrateful. Although he is self-sufficient, he doesn't need anything from anyone else. Still, if somebody offers him something, he is very grateful for it and he reciprocates with that person. So the gopis are offering him pure, loving, devotional service. So Krishna naturally wants to reciprocate with these gopis. So that's why Krishna is just expressing his gratitude to the gopis while dancing with them. Because they lovingly came to Krishna with conjugal feelings on a spiritual plane and Krishna is reciprocating with them. And eighth reason, Krishna is called Aptakama, means self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything beyond himself for his satisfaction. So he is not dependent on anyone else for his pleasure. So when the gopis are coming to Krishna and Krishna is dancing with them and deriving pleasure in the dance, that doesn't contradict his being aptakam or self-satisfied. Because these gopis are part of Krishna's own Swarupa Shakti. So they are Krishna's own energies. If a person is living in his own house, you cannot call him thief. Similarly, if a person is enjoying his own property, you cannot say that he is a plunderer. He is doing immoral activity. Similarly, Krishna is enjoying his own energies, the gopis. So definitely Krishna's activity with the gopis is not immoral. And ninth reason is Krishna is the supreme creator and supreme proprietor. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka mahiswaram suhrudam sarva bhutanam gnatva mam shanti vrichati. Krishna says that I am the supreme creator and the supreme proprietor. So if he has created everything, he owns everything. He is the supreme owner or supreme proprietor. Means everything belongs to him. So all the gopis belong to him. If he dances with the gopis, what's the problem? So he can do anything and everything with whomever he wants in the entire cosmos. So it cannot be immoral. It's illogical to say that Krishna's rasa dance is immoral activity. Tenth reason. Now, some people may comment on Krishna that Krishna is lusty, Krishna is a womanizer, Krishna is dancing with someone else's wives and all. And if someone is accusing Krishna of lust, just consider this one point, the tenth point. What to speak of Krishna, even Krishna's devotees also are not immoral, they are not lusty. Once Arjuna, one of the pure devotees of Krishna, he went to the heaven. In the heaven, there is a beautiful damsel called Urvasi. And this Urvasi proposed to Arjuna. Arjuna, I am attracted to your beauty. So, we'll associate with each other. So, when Urvasi proposed to Arjuna, Arjuna immediately folded his hands and said, my dear mother, it's not proper for us to do it. I am a human being. I am coming from earthly planet. And you are a heavenly being. And you are also like one of the women who is giving enjoyment to my father, Indra. You are like my mother. So, how can I associate with you? It's totally immoral. So, although such a heavenly damsel, beautiful woman, in a secluded place, came and proposed to Arjuna, Arjuna was not at all tempted. So, Arjuna is so composed, so sober, so self-controlled, absolutely no lust. And another devotee of the Lord called Haridas Thakur. So, Haridas Thakur was doing his japa. He chants 192 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day. One round is chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra 108 times. Like that, he chants 192 rounds. So, he chants. And somehow, because Haridas Thakur is a great Vaishnava and he is very famous, so one person named Ramachandra Khan became very envious of the reputation of Haridas Thakur. So, he wanted to defame this Haridas Thakur. So, this Ramachandra Khan, he called a prostitute and told this prostitute to go and associate with Haridas Thakur so that this Ramachandra Khan can come with his soldiers and then reveal what Haridas Thakur is doing to the whole world and defame him. So, with such a malicious plan, he had sent this prostitute. So, then Haridas Thakur, when this prostitute came to Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur said that, I am chanting my rounds. I will talk to you after completing my rounds. I will fulfill all your desires. So, she came in the middle of the night in seclusion, just directly with a proposal that I want to unite with you. Then Haridas Thakur said, please sit here. So, I am chanting. So, he started chanting in front of Tulsi Devi and he said that I will associate with you after completing my rounds. But his rounds are never complete. So, she waited. But by the time the night passed and morning came, and then she went back. Again, second day she came, same thing happened. Third day she came, same thing happened. Then in these 3 days, while sitting and waiting for Haridas Thakur to complete his chanting, she also started chanting. And then she became a great Vaishnavi. So, even a devotee of Krishna is also not lusty. He is not affected by material lust. And he is such an exalted personality. So, how can Krishna, who is the worshipable master of the self-controlled devotees, be lusty? So, Krishna cannot be lusty. And Krishna's affairs with the gopis of Vrindavan are not lusty affairs. They are pure loving affairs on a spiritual plane, not lusty affairs on a material plane. And 11th reason is that great Paramahamsas like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Sukadev Goswami, they relish Krishna's spiritual pastimes with the gopis of Vrindavan. So, Sukadev Goswami is such an exalted renunciant, he does not even wear clothes. So, he wanders naked. So, his senses are totally under control. Once he was passing by without any clothes, and some heavenly damsels, some ladies were taking bath in a lake. So, they also were not having any dress. But Sukadeva Goswami, being a very young 16-year-old boy who did not have a dress, he was passing by. So, these ladies did not even bother to cover their bodies. They continued to bathe. And later, Vyasadeva came there. And they immediately covered their bodies because they felt very ashamed. They felt shy that, another man came and we don't have any dress. Then the reason why they covered their body is that, why they did not cover body when Sukadeva Goswami was passing by, is that Sukadeva Goswami did not have any distinction between man and woman only. So, he is such an exalted person that he does not have any trace of material lust, although he sees a woman undressed also, and he himself is undressed also, still lusty feelings will not enter the mind of Sukadeva Goswami. And such exalted Sukadeva Goswami is relishing Krishna's conjugal pastimes with the gopis of Vrindavan. So, if Krishna's pastimes with gopis of Vrindavan are lusty affairs, how can Sukadeva Goswami, being a great Paramahamsa, relish that? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a very exalted sannyasi. He is the Supreme Lord Krishna himself in the form of a sannyasi. So he is very strict in his dealings with the opposite gender. But he relishes the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis of Vrindavan. So how can Krishna's pastimes with the gopis be lusty affairs? So they are not immoral. So even Uddhava, the greatest of all Krishna's devotees, he aspires for the dust from the lotus feet of the gopis of Vrindavan. So he says, he himself says, Asa mahocharana renu jushamaham syam Vrindavane kimapi gulmalata ushadhinam Yadustyajam swajanamarya patham chahitva Bhejur mukunda padavim shritibhirvam rugyam. So this devotee Uddhava says that, O gopis of Vrindavan, you are so exalted. So Uddhava desired the dust from the lotus feet of all the gopis. So to get that dust from the lotus feet of gopis, he wants to become a creeper or a bush or a blade of grass in Vrindavan so that the gopis can stamp on this blade of grasses and then he can get their dust. Because Uddhava is such an exalted person, if he goes and asks the gopis, can you please give me your dust, you are so exalted devotees. So the gopis, out of their natural humility and shy, they may not give their dust. So Uddhava had a plan. I will become grass, or I will become a creeper or a bush in Vrindavan. So then gopis will just stamp on me. So that is the acknowledgement or the testimony of the pure love of the gopis of Vrindavan given by Uddhava himself. So he says, Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenuva Bhikshnasaham Yasam Harikathod Gitam Punati Bhavanatrayam. So when the gopis of Vrindavan glorify Krishna, their loving description of Krishna's glories will purify all the three planetary systems. Yasam Harikathod Gitam Punati Bhavanatrayam. All the three worlds are purified by the loving praises offered by the gopis to Krishna. So that's how the gopis are so exalted. So we have discussed the significance of Krishna's Madhurya pastimes, and we have discussed the pure transcendental and spiritual nature of Krishna's conjugal pastimes with the gopis of Vrindavan, and who all are discussing these pastimes and who all are relishing and appreciating and worshipping these pastimes. Sukadeva Goswami, Uddhava, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many other exalted souls. We have discussed 11 reasons why Krishna's Rasalila is not mundane. So having discussed this prelude, let's enter the Rasa Panchadhyaya. We'll have a very brief description of these esoteric chapters. And I'll not go so deep into these descriptions. I'll just give a very quick summary in 2-3 minutes each chapter. And Gopi Gita we'll discuss for more time. So that's a very, very beautiful divine prayer offered by the gopis to Krishna. So the actual Leela, so we will discuss in very brief. So in the 29th chapter, Lord Krishna plays his flute in the night time. So all the gopis of Vrindavan were so attracted to Krishna's playing of flute. We have discussed Venu Gita in the 21st chapter of 10th canto. So Krishna's flute song is so attractive that all the moving entities and non-moving entities, they can just get attracted to Krishna, human species and non-human species. So during the Sharad Ritu, or the autumn season, Krishna was so enchanted on a Purnami night called Sharad Purnima. So Krishna was inspired to play flute. The beautiful full moon of Sharad Purnima night inspired Krishna to play flute, and that attracted the gopis of Vrindavan. And these gopis of Vrindavan, some of them are Nitya Siddhas, are the eternal associates of the Supreme Lord Krishna in the supreme abode called Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. And there are some other gopis, they are the Sadhana Siddhas, means they have performed certain rules and regulations of devotional service, and because of their sincere desire to serve Krishna, they are given the position of being gopis. Some are Nitya Siddhas, some are Sadhana Siddhas. And some are like Shrutichari gopis, Rishichari Gopis, means some rishis who were attracted to Lord Ramachandra during his pastime. Once Lord Ramachandra was traveling in this, during his Vanavas, he was going through this Dandakaranya forest and all these forests. Then the rishis, the sages there, they were attracted to Ramachandra. So they said that, "Oh Ram, we want to associate with you. We are so attracted to you." Then Ram said, "I am an Ekapatni Vrata and you are also in a male body. It's not proper now. So in my next incarnation as Krishna, I will definitely fulfill your desires." Some of those gopis, some of those sages also took the forms of gopis in Vrindavan. Here they are sadhana siddhas. They are Shrutichari gopis. Means the scriptures took the personified forms of gopis and then danced with Krishna. Shrutichari gopis, Rishichari gopis, and Nityasiddha gopis. So like that, there are so many gopis who are associating with Krishna, and some gopis could not even come also. So all these gopis, they were doing so many other household activities in the night. Some people were taking care of their kids, some people were taking care of their husbands or other family members, or doing many other household duties there. But when Krishna played flute on the Sharat Purnima night, all the gopis were helplessly attracted to Krishna's flute, and they left all their activities in the middle. They just came running into the middle of the forest. Then Krishna welcomed the gopis. "Oh gopis, you have come here. Welcome. I welcome you, all of you. So have you come here to see the beauty of the forest in this autumn season? So now that you have seen this beauty of the forest, all the trees and plants and lakes and rivers and flowers and fruits, so now you can go back home. And also this is the middle of the night. So women like you should not come into the forest in the middle of the night like this. So you are supposed to serve your husbands and fathers or brothers or sons or other family members. You are not supposed to come right in the middle of the night like this into the forest." So Krishna started giving them certain teachings on some moral codes and social customs. So then he says that it's not proper for you to be here. Then the gopis become very disappointed. "Krishna, we have come here attracted to your flute song. So how can you say that we have to go back? Don't be cruel, Krishna. So perhaps you are expecting us to go back. It's not proper on your part. We have come here to serve you. So you please don't say that. We will not go back." Then Krishna says that, you remember when we were discussing the 10th canto, 23rd chapter, when the Brahmana Patanis came to serve Krishna in the forest during the daytime, the Brahmana Patanis also wanted to stay back in the forest only to serve Krishna. But Krishna said, no, you should go back. Your husbands or your family members must be waiting for you." Then he told, "Shravanat darshanat dhyanat mayi bhavonu kirtanat natatha sannikarshena pratiyatatato grihan." Shravanat, by hearing about Krishna. Darshanat, by seeing Krishna's deity form. Dhyanat, by meditating on him. Mayi bhavonu kirtanat, so with great emotion and love, one should chant the holy names of the Lord or glorify him. So by doing all these things, Shravana, Kirtana, Darshana, Dhyana, so one can be in touch with Krishna. Natatha sannikarshena, not by physical proximity. Pratiyata tato grahan, so therefore you go back home. So Krishna told, so you can be in touch with me by hearing, by chanting, by meditating on me, by worshipping me, by taking darshan of my deity form, and not necessarily by physically being close to me. So he said that, and the Brahmana Patnis just went, taking the suggestion of Krishna. But Krishna repeated the same suggestion, same sloka to the gopis of Vrindavan also, but the gopis said, "We will not go." So gopis have more love for Krishna. The gopis' love for Krishna is more intense. So they cannot just be satisfied by the elements of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Dhyanam, Padasevanam. So these are the processes that are followed by Vaidhi Sadhana Bhaktas. So as a practice, but the gopis of Vrindavan are not even Raganuga Bhaktas, they are Ragatmika Bhaktas. They are the original prototypes of having love and affection towards Krishna. So anyone who wants to develop love and affection for Krishna should follow in the footsteps of these exemplary ideal devotees. And Krishna is suggesting them, you should do Shravan Kirtan and deity worship and all that. So the gopis did not like this idea. They said, Krishna, don't be so cruel with us. So don't ask us to go back. We have come here to serve you. Actually, Krishna never wanted them to go back. Krishna played flute and he wanted all the gopis to come there so that he can dance with them. But Krishna told that externally, but internally he meant that they should stay back. Externally he said, go back. Internally he was thinking, stay back. So the gopis stayed back because gopis understand the mood of Krishna. And the gopis started crying there. And their whole body showed signs of great unhappiness and anxiety. So then Krishna agreed, okay, fine, you can stay here. So then Krishna began rasa dance. Means he started dancing with all the gopis of Vrindavan. So all the gopis became so happy to have such an intimate and privileged association of Krishna. All gopis felt that I am the most fortunate woman on the entire earth planet. So Krishna has given me this special blessing. He is dancing with me personally. He is associating with me personally. So all the gopis became so happy and they became little proud also. So when the gopis become little proud, so Krishna immediately disappeared from that place. So all the gopis who felt little proud, so Krishna wanted to relieve them of that pride, and then they and Krishna disappeared from there. And gopis became really devastated. So that completes the 29th chapter. We will enter the 30th chapter. So in the 30th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes how the gopis started searching for Krishna. Because Krishna disappeared from there, all the gopis started searching for Krishna everywhere. So they went to different places, and they asked the trees, they asked the plants, they asked whomever they have seen, all the animals and birds they have seen in the forest. They asked everyone, did you see Krishna? Did you see Krishna? They asked the bushes also. They became totally maddened in separation from Krishna. And they wandered from one forest to another forest in the middle of the night. And they were getting tired. And still they could not find Krishna. So all the gopis, they in their separation from Krishna, they started remembering Krishna. And they started enacting all the pastimes of Krishna. So Krishna killed Putana. Krishna killed Shakatasur. Krishna liberated Trinavarta. Krishna subdued Kaliya. Krishna lifted Govardhan mountain. So Krishna has performed so many pastimes till this point in Vrindavan. All the gopis started enacting those pastimes in their ecstatic separation from Krishna, their feelings of separation from Krishna. Some gopi would become Kaliya snake and another gopi would climb on the head of that gopi and then start dancing. And in this way, different gopis took different roles roles in Krishna's pastimes, and they started enacting those pastimes in their madness of separation from Krishna. Some gopis started enacting Damodar Leela. Some gopis started enacting this swallowing of forest fire by Krishna and killing of Vatsasur, killing of Bakasur. All the various pastimes of Krishna, the devotees, the gopis enacted. So when we discuss Krishna's pastimes or when we enact Krishna's pastimes, so the feelings of separation could be mitigated. But the gopis of Vrindavan, they have such intense feelings of separation from Krishna that even after enacting the pastimes of Krishna, they still are hankering for Krishna's association, and they started searching everywhere. So they continued. So when they continued to search in the forest, at one point they saw Krishna's footprints. And not only Krishna's footprints, they have also seen another gopi's footprints next to Krishna's footprints. So they understood that Krishna is giving his company to this special gopi, that is Srimati Radharani. So she is Srimati Radharani, and Krishna has given his special exclusive company to this gopi, and she must be extremely fortunate. So because of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the topmost gopi, and she is actually the source of all gopis. And just like Krishna is avatari, he is the source of all incarnations. Similarly, Srimati Radharani is the source of all the consorts of all the incarnations of Krishna. So Krishna and Radharani went away from all these gopis, and all the gopis felt that, oh, she must be really special. She must have worshipped Krishna so nicely. She is the greatest worshipper of Krishna, and she got the opportunity to associate with Krishna and serve Krishna separately. Although Krishna left all our company, he left all of us to associate with her. She must be really exalted. They felt like that. But after some time, they understood that even Krishna also abandoned that special gopi Srimati Radharani. Because Radharani got special association of Krishna, so she also felt somewhat proud, and then she said, Krishna, I cannot walk anymore. Can you please carry me? Then Krishna disappeared from Radharani also. Then the gopis found that Srimati Radharani, and she is also in separation. So all the gopis together came to the bank of Yamuna, and they started their singing the song of their separation from Krishna. So that is the Gopi Gita that is described in the 31st chapter. So we will discuss the shlokas of Gopi Gita very briefly. So the first shloka of the 31st chapter Gopi Gita is Gopya Uchuhu Jayati Tedhikam Janmana Vrajaha Shrayata Indira Shashvadatrahi Daita Drishyatam Dikshutavakas Tvayidrita Savas Tvam Vichinvate. So in this shloka, the gopis are saying that, O Krishna, Jayati te adhikam janmana vrajaha. You have appeared in this land of Vraja, and this Vrindavan became extremely fortunate, and it is so glorious because Krishna appeared in this Vrindavan land. So this Vrindavan land is so glorious. Jayati te adhikam janmana vrajaha shreyata Indira shashvatatrahi. Indira means goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, eternally resides in Vrindavan Dham with manifesting all full opulences in Vrindavan. So Daita Drishyatam Dikshutavakaha Tvayi Dhritasavaha Tvam Vichinvati. The gopis are saying that, please give your darshan to us. So Tvayi Dhritasavaha, we have dedicated our lives and our prana to you completely. Our lives are dedicated to you. Now that you have disappeared from our vision, we are burning in the fire of separation. Please manifest yourself in front of us. Please give your darshan, reveal your darshan. That's the first shloka. The second shloka, they say, Sharadudashaye sadhu jatasat sarasi jodara shri mushadrisha suratanathate shulkadasika varadanighnato neha kimvadha. They say, Sharadudashaye sadhu jatasat. So, O Krishna, you are so beautiful. Just like in the autumn season, the lotus that grows in the ponds, in the lakes, is extremely beautiful. Sharadudashaye sadhu jatasat sarasi jodara shrimushadrisha. Your face is like the lotus of autumn season. And suratanathate shulkadashikaha ashulkadashikaha. O Krishna, we have become your maid servant without any payment. So we have eternally become your servants, and servants generally receive some remuneration from the masters, but ashulkadashikaha, we are your dasis, we are your maid servants without expectation of any remuneration. So varadanighnato nehakim vadaha, and you are not giving us your reciprocation or darshan. So is it not killing women? Please don't kill us, Krishna. Please give your darshan. They are saying like that. The third shloka. They say, Vishajalapyayad vyala rakshasad varshamarutad vaidyutanalat vrishamayatmajad vishvatobhayad rishabhatevayam rakshitamuhu. The gopis are saying, Vishajalapyayad vyala rakshasat. Vishajala is the poisonous waters. So because of presence of Kaliya in that Yamuna lake, the waters have become poisonous, and Krishna protected the Vrajavasis from that Kaliya snake, first thing. Then Vyala Rakshasat, and also Krishna has protected the Vrajavasis from so many other demons. So Vyala Rakshasa is this snake demon, that is Aghasur. So Krishna protected all the Vrajavasis from Aghasur. Then Varsha Marutat. So Varsha Marutat is this Trinavarta. So Trinavarta came in the form of a whirlwind. So Krishna protected. Krishna also protected the Vrajavasis from the rains that are sent by Indra. And Vaidyuta Analat, that is rains sent by Indra. Then Vrishamayatmajat. Vrisha is this bull demon, that is Arishtasur. Then Mayatmajat, son of Maya, who is that? Vyomasur. Krishna protected the Vrajavasis from Vyomasur also. Vishvato Bhayat Rishabhatevayam Rakshitamuhu. So you have protected us so many times from so many demons. Now we are tormented by feelings of separation from you. Please protect us. You have protected us repeatedly. Now please give your darshan, come back. Fourth shloka. The gopis are saying,
Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam antaratmadru vikhanasarthito vishvaguptaye sakhaudeivan satvatam kule nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan.
O Krishna, you are not Gopika Anandana. Who is that Gopika Anandana? Gopika is Srimati Yashoda Mata. Gopika Anandana is son of Yashoda, that is Krishna. O Krishna, you are not just the son of Yashoda Mata. Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam antaratmadruk. You are the super soul of every single living entity. You are not only the son of Mother Yashoda, you are actually the soul of all living beings. And vikhanasa arthito vishvato vishvaguptaye. So vikhanasa arthito means Lord Brahma has begged from you. So Brahma went to Krishna. We discussed in the first chapter of 10th canto where Brahma went all along with all the demigods and requested Krishna to appear. That's why Krishna appeared. For what? Vishvaguptaye, for protecting the entire universe. And sakhau deivan satvatam kule. The gopis are saying that, so because Brahma requested you, you have appeared in this satvata kula, in this dynasty of great devotees, in the Yadukula. So, O Lord, you are so great. So please give us your darshan. So in this Gopi Gita, the gopis alternatively praise Krishna and also criticize Krishna for being very rude with them, very cruel with them. Fifth shloka, they say,
Virachita bhayam vrishnidhuryate charanamiyusham samsrityer bhayat karasaroruham kantakamadam sirasidehinah shrikaragraham.
The gopis are saying, Virachita bhayam vrishnidhuryate. O Lord, you bestow your mercy and fearlessness upon your devotees by your abhayahasta. By placing your hand on your devotees, you cause fearlessness to them. Virachita bhayam vrishnidhuryate charanamiyusham samsrityer bhayat. Charanamiyusham, one who surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna, samsrityer bhayat, they will transcend the bhaya or the fear of material existence. So, karasaroruham kanta kamadam. Oh dear Krishna, kara saroruham. Kara means hand, saroruha is lotus. So please place your lotus hand on our heads. We are requesting that divine touch of your lotus hand. Next, sirasi dehina. Then sixth shloka they say,
vrajajanartihan virayoshitam nijajanasmaya dhamsanasmitam bhajasakhe bhave kinkarismano jalaruhananam charudarshaya. Vrajajanartihan virayoshitam.
Vrajajana means all the residents of Vrindavan. Vrajajana artihan. O Lord, you can completely vanquish the arti or distress of all Vrajavasis. Virayoshitam, O hero, we are simple women. So please destroy our distress also. Nijajanasmaya dhamsanasmita. So with your pleasant enchanting smile, you can easily vanquish all our distresses. Then, bhaja sakhe bhavat kinkarismano jalaruhananam charu darshaya. Please protect us. Please destroy our distress. Charu darshaya. By giving the darshan of your beautiful divine lotus face. So that is the sixth shloka where the gopis are requesting Krishna to show his beautiful face. Then jalaruha ananam, jalaruha means lotus, ananam means face. Seventh shloka.
Pranata dehinam papakarshanam trinacharanugam shriniketanam phanifanarpitam tepadambujam krunukucheshunaha krindhirichayam.
Pranata dehinam papakarshanam. Pranata means surrendering unto Krishna, or pranata means just offering pranams to Krishna, offering obeisances to Krishna. Pranata dehinam papakarshanam. If one surrenders to Krishna or offers obeisances to Krishna, then all the papas or sins are completely vanquished. Then, trinacharanugam shriniketanam. Trina means grass. Trinachara, anugam. Trinachara means the cows that eat grass. They set for grass and they start eating them. Trinachara, anugam. Krishna follows the cows. So, when the cows are going to the pasturing grounds to eat grass, Krishna follows them. That's why he is called Trinacharanugam Shriniketanam. Means Shriniketanam means Krishna is the abode of goddess of fortune. Then, Fanifanarpitam Tepadambujam. Fanifanarpitam means, Fanifana is this Kaliya snake. So, Krishna's divine lotus feet danced on the hoots of Kaliya. Fanifanarpitam Tepadambujam Krunukucheshunaha Krindhirichayam. O Krishna, you have bestowed the touch of your divine lotus feet on the hoods of Kaliya. Please place your feet on our hearts also. So the gopis are saying like this. Eighth shloka.
Madhuraya gira valgu vakyaya budhamanognaya pushkarekshana vidhikaririma viramuhyatir adharasidhuna pyayayasvanaha. Madhurayagira valguvakyaya.
Madhurayagira means sweet words. The gopis are saying that, Krishna, your words are so sweet. Valguvakyaya, your statements are very attractive. And budhamanognaya pushkarekshana. O Pushkarekshana, O lotus-eyed Krishna, Buddha Manognaya, people who are intelligent in their minds, they can be attracted to your charming words. And
Vidhikaririma Vira Muhyatir Adharasedhona Pyayayasvanaha.
So your words are so attractive. So please come and console us with your nectarian words. Ninth shloka, very important shloka. In the ninth shloka, the gopis are saying,
Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kavibhireditam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam bhuvigrinantiye bhuridajanah.
Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam. O Krishna, your kathamrita, the nectarian narrations of your activities and pastimes, tapta jivanam, they can completely destroy the distress of all those people who are suffering in this material world. Krishna katha is the real solution for all the problems in this material world. Who is saying this? The gopis are saying this. The gopis are the topmost of all the devotees of Krishna, and the Rasa Panchadhyaya is the most confidential part of Srimad Bhagavatam. Within this Rasa Panchadhyaya, five adhyayas, the middle adhyaya is Gopi Gita. And the Gopi Gita has 19 shlokas. In the middle of this Gopi Gita, the ninth shloka, the gopis are glorifying the process of Krishna Katha. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam. And Prataprudra Maharaj in Jagannath Puri, he started singing this shloka, tava kathamritam tapta jivanam. And he attained the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very long narration. So, kavibhiriditam kalmashapaham. Even great kavis, great exalted transcendental poets also describe this Krishna Katha, Kalmashapaham, because Krishna Katha completely vanquishes all Kalmasha contamination. And Shravana Mangalam Srimadatatam. Shravana Mangalam, by hearing Krishna Katha, Mangalam, great auspiciousness is caused. Srimad Atatam, and this Krishna Katha has to be propagated. It has to be spread, it has to be broadcasted. And whoever is broadcasting is the most benevolent benefactor of the entire human society. That's why they say, Bhurida Janaha. Bhuvi Gridanti Ye Bhurida Janaha. So, Srimad Atatam Bhuvi Gridanti Ye. Whoever is broadcasting the glories of Krishna on this earthly planet, they are real Bhurida Janaha, benevolent benefactors of the entire humanity. The gopis are saying this. Then in the 10th shloka, the gopis say,
Prahasitananam Prahasitam Priya Prema Vikshanam Viharanam Chate Dhyanam Mangalam Rahasi Samvido Yahridis Prishaha Kuhakano Manaha Kshobhayantihi Prahasitananam Prahasitam Priya Prema Vikshanam.
Prahasitam means smile of Krishna. Prema Vikshanam means the loving glances of Krishna. Hasita and Vikshana. His smiles and his glances are very benevolent, very sweet and charming. Viharanam Chate Dhyana Mangalam. Dhyana. If one meditates on the beautiful activities of Krishna, smiles of Krishna and glances of Krishna, they cause great auspiciousness. Dhyana Mangalam, Rahasi Samvido Ya Hridis Prishaha. And the gopis have the special privilege of receiving these glances and smiles in Rahasi, in secluded places.
Kuhaka no manaha kshobhayantihi.
So the gopis are describing that it's very blissful to see your smiles and glances, and your remembrance is also very blissful, but it is also kshobhayanti, means it agitates us. It's very agitating to us also, because they are enjoying the bliss of meeting Krishna, and they also many times are disappointed because of their separation from Krishna. So Krishna's glances and smiles are both blissful and agitating also. 11th shloka, they say further about the pain of separation, especially when Krishna goes to herd cows, tend cows and calves in the forest. 11th shloka, they say,
Chalasi yadvraja charayan pashun nalina sundaram nathate padam shilatrinankurai sidati tinaha Kalilata manaha kantagachati.
So the gopis are saying that, O Krishna, whenever you go to the forest along with the gopas and cows, we are extremely in pain of separation. One is the pain of not seeing you. Second is, we are concerned that when you are walking barefoot in the forest of Vrindavan, some pebbles or some thorns might hurt your divine, soft, butter-like lotus feet. That is giving us so much of anxiety. So they say like that. 12th shloka.
Dina parikshaye neela kuntalehi vararuhananam bibhrada vritam ghanarajaswalam darshayan muhor Manasina smaran virayachasi. Dina parikshaye neelakuntalaihi.
So, in the previous shloka, 11th shloka, the gopis said that we are in anxiety when you go to the forest. Now, when you come back from the forest, are we pacified? No. Because we are, although we can see, we can see you, still we are in some pain, we are in some anxiety. So, dina parikshaye neelakuntalaihi, at the end of the day, you will come back along with the gopas and the calves to the village from the forest, and we can see Neelakuntalehi, your bluish, your blackish locks of hair surrounding your bluish face, which is so beautiful, and the hair also becomes little dusty because of the dust raised by the cow's hoof prints. Vararuhananam bibhradavritam. Vararuhananam means Krishna's face is like a lotus. Bibhradavritam, these hair, curly locks are surrounding him. Ghana rajashvalam darshayan muhur. Ghana raja means lot of dust is there on Krishna's face and Krishna's hair. So darshayan muhur, they are seeing the beautiful face of Krishna, darshan of Krishna repeatedly. Manasina smaran virayachasi. In their heart, they're constantly meditating on that. It's a very blissful scene to see Krishna coming back, but still, even while seeing also, they are feeling some separation from Krishna, because within one eye blink, and that darshan is also there for a few moments only. Krishna will just pass by and enter Yashoda Mata's house, and the gopis cannot see again. 13th shloka.
Pranata kamadam padmajarchitam dharani mandanam dheyamapadi charana pankajam shantamam chate ramananastaneshvarpayadhihan.
Now the gopis glorify Krishna's divine lotus feet.
Pranata kamadam padmajarchitam.
Pranata kamadam, if you offer obeisances to Krishna's feet, kamadam, Krishna will fulfill the desires. Padmajarchitam, padmaja means one who is born of lotus, that is Brahma. Padmaja architam, even Brahma also worships those lotus feet.
Dharani mandalam dheyamapadi,
and the divine lotus feet are marking such beautiful impressions on this Dharani. So the Dharani, this earth, especially the land of Vrindavan, is decorated with Krishna's auspicious footprints. Dheyam apadi. So dheyam, if you meditate on those lotus feet, then all the apadas, means the distresses or difficulties, are destroyed.
Charana pankajam sham tamam chati.
Charana pankajam, if you do dhyana, means meditate on Krishna's lotus feet, all the distresses are destroyed.
Ramananastaneshvarpayadhihan.
So please place those divine lotus feet on our bodies, on our hearts, Krishna. They are requesting like that. Then 14th shloka is about Krishna's flute and how Krishna blows the wind from his lips into the flute.
Suratavardhanam shokanashanam svaritavenuna shushtuchumbitam itara ragavesmaranam dranam vitaraveranastedharamrutam.
Suratavardhanam shokanashanam. Krishna's flute song will increase our happiness, and shokanashanam, destroy our distress.
Svarita veduna shushtu chumbitam,
and that Venu, the flute of Krishna, is so fortunate because Krishna is almost kissing this flute all the while. And itara raga vismaranam drunam, whoever hears Krishna's flute song will completely give up all the other attachments. So when will we get that fortune? The flute is having all fortune of getting the company of Krishna. When will we get that fortune? The gopis are hankering for this. 15th shloka.
Atati yad bhavan ahnikananam truti yugayate tvama pashyatam kutila kuntalam shrimukham chate jada udikshatam pakshmakritrisham.
Atati yad bhavan ahnikananam. O Krishna, whenever you go to Ahni, whenever you go to Kananam, means during the day, when you go to the forest,
truti yugayate tvama pashyatam.
Truti means a small fraction of a second. Truti yugayate, that fraction of a second also can be like one yuga, when full yuga for us. Tvam apashyatam, because we are unable to see you. So they cannot bear even separation from Krishna, even for one eye blink also. So
కుటిల కుంతలం శ్రీముఖం దృశి వితౌట్ సీయింగ్ దిస్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ముఖ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ విచ్ ఈస్ సరౌండెడ్ విత్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ హెయిర్ లాక్స్ దెన్ దే ఫీల్ సపరేషన్ ఫ్రమ్ కృష్ణ జడ ఉదీక్షతాం పక్ష్మకృదృశాం అండ్ దే ఆల్సో క్రిటిసైజ్ ద క్రియేటర్ దట్ ఓ దిస్ క్రియేటర్ హ్యాస్ మేడ్ దిస్ ఐలిడ్స్ దట్ ఆర్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ కవరింగ్ అవర్ ఐస్ ఈవెన్ టూ ఐస్ ఆర్ నాట్ సఫిషియంట్ టు సీ కృష్ణ అండ్ దీస్ టూ ఐస్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో బ్లింకింగ్ సెవరల్ టైమ్స్ సో వీఆర్ అనేబుల్ టు సీ యు దే ఆర్ సేయింగ్ లైక్ దిస్ 16th శ్లోక పతి సుతాన్వయ భ్రాతృబాంధవాన్ అతి విలంఘ్యతేన్యచ్యుతాగతాః గతివిధస్తవోద్గీతమోహితాః కితవయోషితః కస్త్యజేన్నిషి పతి సుతాన్వయ భ్రాతృబాంధవ సో ద గోపీస్ ఆర్ సేయింగ్ దట్ వీ హ్యావ్ లెఫ్ట్ అవర్ పతీస్ పతి మీన్స్ హస్బెండ్ సుత సన్స్ అన్వయ భ్రాతృ బాంధవ బ్రదర్స్ అండ్ అదర్ రిలేటివ్స్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీబడి దెన్ అతి విలంఘ్యతే అచ్యుతాగతాః సో బై హియరింగ్ యువర్ ఫ్లూట్ సాంగ్ వి హ్యావ్ లెఫ్ట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అండ్ వి కేమ్ హియర్ ఇన్ ద మిడిల్ ఆఫ్ ద నైట్ టు యూ సో గతి విధస్తవో ఉద్గీత మోహితాః మీన్స్ యువర్ లౌడ్ ఫ్లూట్ సాంగ్ హ్యాస్ అట్రాక్టెడ్ అస్ అండ్ వి హ్యావ్ కమ్ హియర్ కితవయో ఆశితః కస్త్యజేన్ నిషి ఓ చీటర్ ఓ కితవ సో యు జస్ట్ లెఫ్ట్ అస్ ఇన్ ద మిడిల్ ఆఫ్ ద నైట్ ఈజ్ ఇట్ అప్రోప్రియేట్ ఆన్ యువర్ పార్ట్ సో దే ఆర్ ఈవెన్ చాస్టైజింగ్ కృష్ణ వీ లెఫ్ట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అండ్ యూ లెఫ్ట్ అస్ సో 17th శ్లోక రహసి సంవిదం హృచ్ఛయోదయం ప్రహసితాననం ప్రేమ వీక్షణం బృహదురశ్రియో వీక్ష్య ధామతే ముహురది స్పృహ ముహ్యతే మనః సో ఇన్ ది శ్లోక ద గోపీస్ ఆర్ సేయింగ్ దట్ ఓ లార్డ్ వీఆర్ హ్యాంకరింగ్ ఫర్ యూ సో వీఆర్ ఈగర్లీ లాంగింగ్ ఫర్ యువర్ అసోసియేషన్ ప్రహసితాననం ప్రేమ వీక్షణం వి వాంట్ టు సీ యువర్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ స్మైలింగ్ ఫేస్ ప్రేమ వీక్షణం వి వాంట్ టు రిసీవ్ యువర్ లవింగ్ గ్లాన్సెస్ సో బృహదురశ్రియో వీక్ష ధామతి ముహూర్తి స్పృహ ముహ్యతి మనః అవర్ మైండ్ ఇస్ టోటల్లీ అజిటేటెడ్ అండ్ హ్యాంకరింగ్ ఫర్ యువర్ లవింగ్ కంపెనీ ప్లీజ్ కమ్ బ్యాక్ సో దే కంటిన్యూ ఇన్ ద 18th శ్లోక
వ్రజవనౌకసాం వ్యక్తిరంగతే వృజనహంత్యలం విశ్వమంగళం త్యజమనాక్చన స్వత్స్పృహాత్మనాం స్వజన హృద్రజాం ఎన్నిశోధనం
సో దే రిక్వెస్ట్ కృష్ణ ఇన్ దిస్ లోక్ ఆల్సో టు కమ్ బ్యాక్ వ్రజవనౌకసాం వ్యక్తిరంగతే ప్లీజ్ కమ్ అండ్ రివీల్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ వ్యక్తి మీన్స్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ ఫ్రంట్ ఆఫ్ అస్ వృజినహంతి అలం విశ్వమంగళం బికాస్ వృజినహంతి యూ కెన్ డిస్ట్రాయ్ ఆల్ డిస్ట్రెసెస్ అండ్ విశ్వమంగళం యూ కెన్ కాజ్ గ్రేట్ ఆస్పీషియస్నెస్ టు ద ఎంటైర్ యూనివర్స్ ప్లీజ్ డోంట్ లీవ్ అస్ లైక్ దిస్ ప్లీజ్ కమ్ బ్యాక్ అండ్ గివ్ యువర్ దర్శన్ సో వీ వాంట్ టు సర్వ్ యూ అండ్ ఫుల్ఫిల్ యువర్ డిజైర్ టు రిసీవ్ అవర్ సర్వీస్ అండ్ దస్ వీ వాంట్ టు ఫుల్ఫిల్ అవర్ డిజైర్ టు సర్వ్ యూ సో ప్లీజ్ కమ్ బ్యాక్ దెన్ ఫైనల్లీ దే సే దట్ యత్తేసు జాతచరణాంబురుహంస్తనేషు భీతాశ్చనైర్ప్రియదధీ మహి కర్కశేషు తేనాటవీమటసి తద్వ్యథ తేన కిం స్వేత్ కోర్పాదిభిర్భ్రమతి ధీర్ భవదాయుషాం నః సో అగైన్ దే రిమెంబర్ ద సీన్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణస్ ఎంటరింగ్ దిస్ వృందావన్ ఫారెస్ట్ వితౌట్ ఎనీ షూస్ So we are very anxious. Your feet might be hurt by any pebbles or stones or thorns on the way. So please come back and please place that divine lotus feet on our soft bodies. And even we are concerned that even our bodies are also hard for your lotus feet to bear. So in this way, the gopis are expressing their feelings of separation in the 31st chapter. In the 32nd chapter, Krishna comes back. Because the gopis have called Krishna with so much of love and affection, Krishna has come back. And the gopis began weeping so loudly and then they saw Krishna, their eyes bloomed, they just got up and All the gopis like Shyama, Srimati Radharani, Lalita Sakhi, Vishakha, Chandravali, Padma, Shaibhya, all these gopis just approached Krishna, and Krishna was looking like a beautiful moon in the midst of so many stars when all the gopis came towards Krishna. And the gopis were a little upset with Krishna. Krishna, you have gone, you left us in the middle of the night like this, in the middle of this forest. So we have questions for you. So we know that there are three categories of people. Number one, selfish lovers. The three categories of lovers. One is selfish lover or motivated lover. So these people reciprocate with others only if they receive affection from them. They're selfish people. Second category of people, they are selfless people. So although other people don't show any affection or reciprocation for their love and feelings, they still continue to love them. These are selfless or unmotivated lovers. The third category of people are indifferent. Whether other people show them love or don't show them love, they just don't reciprocate only. So they are totally indifferent and neutral to everybody. So Krishna, we find these three categories of people. Which category do you belong to? They questioned Krishna. And Krishna very intelligently and smartly answered, "Oh gopis, the first category that you said is about selfish or motivated lover. So I am not that. Because selfish people, they are friends with only those people who show them genuine friendship. So I am not like that. Second category. I am not even like selfless person also. Who are the selfless people? Selfless lovers are, even if the other person is not showing any love, still they love. Just like parents. So parents love their children. All the children are mischievous, or the children are not showing so much affection to the parents. Still the parents continue to show affection to the children. So Krishna says, I am not that also. Then third category are indifferent people. They don't show any love or affection or attention to anyone in any case. So they are of four categories. These indifferent people are of four categories. Number one, the Atmaramas means spiritually self-satisfied. So spiritually, if someone is completely satisfied, he doesn't feel the need to reciprocate with anyone or interact with anyone. Then second category of indifferent people are materially fulfilled people. They are aptakama people. Then third category are akritagna. They are very ungrateful people by nature. Fourth category of indifferent people are gurudrohi. They are simply envious of other people, superiors. So these are the four categories of indifferent people. So Gopi said three categories. So Krishna rejected first category and second category. And Krishna gave four subcategories of the third category. And Krishna said, I reject the third category also. So none of the above, Krishna said. So Krishna said that, I belong to the fourth category. What is that? I do not immediately reciprocate with the affection of all beings, although they love me so much, and I keep them in feelings of separation, just to intensify their love and devotion. So that's why I just left all of you. It's not that I don't love you, but when I'm separated from you, your love, your meditation on me will be intensified, and I'm such a person who relishes that intensified love of my devotees. Then the gopis smiled and they were impressed with Krishna's clever answer. And Krishna said that, "Oh gopis, you have given me so much of love, I won't be able to repay that." Krishna says, "Naparayeham niravadya samyujam swasadhakrityam vibudhayushapivaham yama bhajan durjayageha srinkhalaha samvrishchatadvaha pratiyatu sadhuna." In short, the meaning of this shloka spoken by Krishna is, "Oh gopis, you have shown me lot of love and affection and dedication. You have crossed all the social customs and barriers and other Vedic rules and regulations also just to serve me, just to please me. So it is impossible for anyone in that culture to come like this. So you have relinquished everything. Pati sutanvayat bhratru bandhavat ati vilanghyati achyutagata. You have given up everything to serve me. So I cannot repay you. It is not there within my capacity, even within one lifetime of Brahma also, to sufficiently reciprocate with your love. You be satisfied with your own love. That is your wealth." So having said this, so Krishna started rasa dance with the gopis. So Krishna started dancing with the gopis again, and that is the most enchanting episode of this Bhagavatam. And this is very exalted and elevated and very esoteric pastime. It's beyond my capacity to narrate this. So under the instruction of superiors, I just presented in a very brief manner, mainly focusing on how it is not an immoral activity. It is divine, it is transcendental, it has no trace of mundane lust, and it is totally on a plane of spiritual exchanges of love and affection between the Lord and his dearest devotees. And gopis are the topmost devotees. We have seen 11 reasons based on Prabhupada's Krishna book that how this Rasalila is not mundane. And we have seen Gopi Gita, all the shlokas and the meanings in brief. And we have discussed other chapters in very short manner. So we completed this Rasa Panchadhyaya. And even Parikshit Maharaj also asked a question at the end of this Rasa Panchadhyaya. He says that how can Krishna dance with other wives' gopis? And we also discussed in the beginning of our session that tejiyasam na doshaya. When a great personality does something, it doesn't affect him. But if mundane people who have materialistic vision, they minimize the greatness of this divine pastimes of Krishna and criticize the Supreme Lord Krishna, so they could get affected by it. Krishna is like fire. So one can never imitate the pastimes done by Krishna. One should also not criticize them and considering them to be ordinary. So Krishna is the real object of love and affection of all the gopis of Vrindavan and all the Vrajavasis. And whatever pastimes that Krishna has performed with the gopis of Vrindavan are really divine. So we concluded our description, our summary of these 5 chapters today. So tomorrow we will begin the next chapter, 34th chapter. Thank you all very much. ग्रथराश्रीमद्भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय